Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now, Keith Wood, you're with us. Hello.
Good evening, Joseph. How are you?
Good evening. We've just watched Shane Lowry have a hole-in-one at the Masters Par 3 competition. We've also just had Andrew Cotter of the BBC on talking about the Masters. And as I welcomed you to the show, I suddenly realised, hating you in the moment of realisation, that you have played Augusta National.
Yes, I have. Yeah. And I'm very good friends with Andrew Cotter.
Ah, well, listen, so, you know, everyone, chummy. That's the only... I'm not in the inside, you know.
He disappears over in Killaloe from time to time just to get away from it all, from all the madness of the BBC. But he's got a great voice for telly, for radio, and is the most cynical and sarcastic man of all time. So I have to say, love him.
Well, I asked him, you know, if even the grizzled pro that he is, he looked at Augusta and the azaleas and thought, God, this place is amazing. And he did say, Yeah,
it's a little bit extraordinary there. I mean, it is. It's, I mean, the town outside the ground isn't fantastic.
No.
And the second you go up Magnolia Drive, every single thing is perfect. Mm. Everything. Mm. It's quite amazing.
Is it almost too artificial?
No, it's fantastic. Okay. Like, it is absolutely fantastic. What takes everybody says that has been there, that have watched it or have played there, will say that it's amazingly hilly. It's a very tiring course to go around. I played off the members' tees and I've played off the masters' tees. And it's incredibly intimidating off the Masters tees. You're hitting down a tunnel of trees. Mm. And I wouldn't be the straightest of hitters, so that makes it kind of tough. But it's an amazing place. I mean, it was a great opportunity. I was invited to play about 10 years ago now. And it was truly, truly phenomenal. It was about 6 or 8 weeks before the Masters. So they hadn't... They're only beginning to put up some of the hoardings around it and some of the grandstands. So you could see it as it was, which was, it's magnificent, actually. Really, really magnificent. A beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure it's amazing. Must try and get over there. I guess it's on a lot of people's to-do list. Meanwhile, the rugby at hand, it's another Pro 14 week as we build up towards Easter weekend and the semi-finals in the Heineken Champions Cup. Friday, we have Edinburgh hosting Ulster and Munster are away to Treviso. On Saturday, Leinster, who really just are fulfilling fixtures at this stage and they're home and hosed in terms of Pro 14 qualification, they're at home to Glasgow at the RDS at 3 o'clock. And then also at 3 o'clock at the sports ground, Connacht have a pretty crucial game against Cardiff, which will decide much. So that's the important game of the weekend, Connacht against Cardiff at the sports ground.
It is. I think it's been almost unusual that... a lot of the business has already been done with a couple of matches to go in the tournament, maybe a few more from Leinster's perspective. So we know that Ulster, Munster and Leinster are fine. Leinster obviously in pole position, but it's a cracking game for this weekend against Cardiff. And if they can win this weekend, they have a match to spare against Munster and Thomond Park next week. So it's a really, really big one. If they win this weekend, that's qualification for Europe for them, which would be phenomenal for Connacht. And if we, you know, when we saw that there was a shake-up in the Pro 14, the shake-up in the European competition, we would have always wished to try and get all our four teams into it. But in many respects, you're kind of wishing against reality.
Yeah.
But one big game this weekend, and that reality could become... absolutely true.
And it's their priority. They rested a number of players against Sale in the Challenge Cup. I'm sure they didn't want to, but they made that decision. The likes of Tom Farrell was on the bench, Ulton Delan left out. They have targeted this game and this competition. Cardiff beat them in January 8-7. You'd be inclined, though, at the sports ground and given the stakes, to give Connacht the massive chance here.
I would say even on the back of the game last week, you know, a 6-5 win, which was amazing. They've had a couple of low scores, but that isn't Connacht's form. And at home, with the wish that the weather might be some way decent, and I love the fact that Connacht have actually built on a level of confidence. And when Andy Friend came in, there was a fair amount of criticism for the fact that his predecessor was kind of shut out the door in very snappy fashion. And yet Andy Friend seems to be the guy that fits the bill exactly for Connacht. They've looked confident. They've looked they look like they're having an enjoyment, a high sense of enjoyment, even with certain things not going their way. They've had a lot of players in the Irish setup this year, and that takes its toll, actually. And yet they look in good form. I think Bundy's back at the weekend. I don't think Quinru is. I think he's out with a bug. But Bundy will be back. He'll make a big difference. And I thought Cardiff were capable of doing great things. They reminded me, actually, of prior to the European Cup, it's a long time ago, when you'd see the Welsh teams play and they could do amazing things with the ball in hand and defensively weren't up to scratch. And Cardiff last week weren't up to scratch defensively. But they could score and they could trouble you, so you want to make certain you knock them down early. But no, I have to say, it has to be Connacht's game at home.
Johan van Graan has signed a contract extension with Munster. He'll be around until June 2022. He's still relatively early, really, when you consider he only took over halfway through last season into his tenure. I think it seemed like straightforward business on both sides. He was keen to stay, and Munster obviously have offered him the extension earlier than they might have needed to. What stamp has he put in the team?
I think he stabilised the team an awful lot. I've seen a couple of his presentations, actually, to his vision for what he wants in the future. And I have to say, it takes a period of time for those things to happen, but it's exciting. And he is trying to build his team around him. He's trying to bolster the squad that he has. I think everybody can see that from the outside. At times we get frustrated watching Munster for the fact that maybe sometimes they're not as expansive, and that's not hugely expansive, but that it reverts sometimes to one-out rugby. Yeah. I think that takes a period of time to change. I don't think we'll ever see Munster really playing in the manner in which Connacht do. I just think there's a different DNA there. And and I kind of like the DNA, but I don't like it when it gets a bit slow for that one-out rugby. That's the only thing I don't like. Van Graan has brought...
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, what I think he's brought is he's brought a sense of confidence to the players that are not necessarily on the top tier. So I think he's built the depth through it. I think the team look fresher this year a lot, by the way. I thought in the last semi-final that they had against Saracens, I thought the players were out on their feet by the time they got there.
Yeah.
Now, some of our senior players, I think, are out on their feet a little, and I think they'll all have a rest this weekend. But on the same token, I actually think he's chopped and changed the players an awful lot more. He has blooded a huge number of players in the squad. He's given them more higher octane match opportunities. And ultimately, I think we'll be fresher at the end of the season than we have been in the past. And I think that is a significant move.
On the DNA point, for me, and I think for a lot of people, Munster were at their very best in 2008 when they still had all the traditional values that are synonymous with Munster. But equally, you look at that back line and they could and routinely did go from their own 22 over the try line, and it was sublime rugby to watch, flowing rugby. They were just a brilliant team. That's really the perfect blend, isn't it? That must be where Munster ultimately are aiming to get back to long-term, medium-term.
Well, I think it's a miscomprehension in some respects to think that Munster don't play an attractive style of rugby. Their historical blend was a mixture between forwards and backs.
Yeah.
And that's when they're at their best. That's when they're at their most potent. The game has changed significantly since 2008. And I think Munster were very fortunate, 2006, 2008, that their world-class players all happened to be Munstermen. You know, and Munster need to get back to that. And that is, without a shadow of a doubt, part of the drive of what Munster are looking to do. But that can't happen overnight, and that'll happen over a period of time, which is why I'm very happy that Van Graan is staying there, because you need consistency in your coach. And there's been a lot of change, for obviously for terribly sad reasons, and then with Razi Erasmus going back to South Africa. Suddenly you have three coaches in a couple of years. You need stability, and the teams that do very well have stability at the top of the helm. And look, I expect them to change and make bigger progressions in the next year or two. I think this year in particular is incredibly difficult to make huge change because of the World Cup at the end of it and the manner in which Ireland protects its players. Mm. Rightly, by the way, rightly. Yeah. But it still makes it very, very difficult for the club team. So when I look at it, in our four provinces are all, you know, hopefully with Connacht, I would really hope that they win at the weekend. That there, we could have four teams in the European Cup in next year. That'd be fantastic, with Ireland going very well. I think that's very, very good. But I'd be looking for stability this year and progression, a lot of progression from next year.
One last point I wanted to get your thoughts on, if we're talking about the game changing. The Jackal is a fairly modern phenomenon. I think I can remember hearing the phrase for the first time. So it seems World Rugby are trialling a number of rules. There's the 50-22 rule. We can talk about that again at another stage. But there is talk now increasingly of them removing the Jackal, the poacher that we see, the David Pocock, who's defending and leaning over the ball and often being smashed by the attacking team to try and get him out of the way. It seems there's going to be trials. We're not sure where, but trials to see if rugby can go back to traditional rucking. The reasoning being twofold. One, there'd be more men in the ruck and therefore more space. But two, I think primarily safety, because we're seeing a huge number of injuries in this area of the pitch. I've seen proponents on both sides. Where are you on this? Do you like the Jackal? Do you want? Is it a good part of the game?
I think when you see somebody do it perfectly, it is, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And yet I hate it. Actually, I don't like it. I'm not a fan. It is a new part of the game. In times past, the second there was a ruck, you couldn't put your hands in it. It's the difficulty in reffing it is the issue. It's actually become incredibly complex. And if you're a fan watching at home and you say, well, he's got his hands on the ball and he is on his feet, surely it has to be a penalty and he's won a penalty. It often is not, because he may be the wrong guy in. It's only one guy is allowed to go in. Mm. You'll always see two or three. And then you see this huge flurry of players throwing themselves into it to try and clear out the ruck. I think it's a vulnerable position in the game and I don't like it. The change will be very difficult because it's become part and parcel of the game. Mm. And it is in that one grey area when is a ruck not a ruck, and who is the first person in? Are you the first person in or are you not the first person in? And I have to say, with the speed of which the game is going, it's putting almost an undue pressure on the referee to make a snap decision of what thing is right or not. So some of the things that are cleared out are absolute penalties. And when you see players getting injured by things that are penalties, you do tend to get a bit angry looking at that. Mm. You know, so look, for all these changes, these are changes that happened years previously. And we've discussed this in the past. It's the law of unintended consequences. So you wanted to change it. They didn't want to put bodies or feet on bodies the old traditional rucking way, where I think everybody knew what happened. And yes, bad things happened too, but you kind of knew that there were no hands ever allowed near the ball and you could ruck over the ball and more people were in. That looks unpalatable. And yes, there are some injuries from it, but tend to be very few and quite minor for the most part. But when it then got to this idea that actually you had a window, you had a period of time when you could put your hands on the ball. And some of the players are magnificent at it and really are. And Tyke Byrne being one, Pocock being one. But I think you put yourself in a vulnerable position, showing the nape of your neck to the opposition to kind of clash into, is not something I think that was part and parcel of what rugby was supposed to be. Mm. But I think it's one of those elements that knocks on to something else. So I think they will make a change in time because there are too many injuries in that space. And I then think there'll be another change because we don't quite know how people will react to it. And the coaches are there full time looking to try and find a little chink in somebody else's armour or a little chink in the laws of the game to give them an edge. So, look, I think it'll take a period of time, but I do think it'll go in time.
OK, interesting. Let's come back to that some evening. We're pretty much out of time, short and sweet this evening. Enjoy the Masters.
I intend to, actually. I'm going to watch a lot of that now.
Good man. All right, thanks, Emil.
Cheers, gents.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.